Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome to a Memorial Day edition of On the Double with the Double S Express. A late start, one to remember for sure. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd, and let's waste no time. Go right out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Ricky Cleveland George. Ricky, what's going on tonight?
Hey, how y'all guys doing? How was your holiday?
Great, great. Well, happy Memorial Day to you as well, man. Hopefully you got your share of a barbecue and reflecting on, you know, the troops that have done so much for us.
Hey, man, it's a blessing to have guys that go out in that field, man. My hat's off to them. I salute them for the ones that's living with us today and the ones that's no longer with us.
Yes, you know, if I may reflect a little bit, I mean, it does. It means a lot to be in such a great country, the United States of America, to be able to have the liberties that we have, to be able to talk about cool things such as sports. And man, I want to start out by congratulating you, Ricky, for being the, you know, landing your first head coaching job in Kosovo, man. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So what are the rigors like? I mean, you're in Kosovo, you're coaching a professional basketball team. You were the vice president of basketball operations for the WBA, the World Basketball Association. So what's life like now as a head coach?
Man, it's wonderful. You know, it's a dream that I wasn't prepared for yet, should I say. You know, I knew it was something down the line that I wanted to get into, but I never would have thought, you know, just out of nowhere, I would have landed the job just without even searching for it. It was a big blessing.
Now, you said without even searching for it. So how did that come about?
Basically, I went back to play, started back playing ball, and I was on my break. And the team just called me, you know, the team captain of KB Castrioti, Bizarre, called me. He was just like, hey, man, we're searching for a head coach. And I was just like, well, hey, pretty much everybody I know is wrapped up, man, you know, on my end that I know, you know, if I hear anybody that's, you know, looking within right now, I'll let you know. He was just like, no, man, we're asking you. And I was just like, you know, just off taken, blown away. And I sat on it for 2 days because I was still in the midst of back playing, and I was just like, you know what? It's God's blessing. So when something like that just comes out of left field, you have no other choice but to jump on it because you never know when an opportunity will present itself again.
Now, Ricky, you had played professionally both overseas and in the ABA. How did your overseas experience as a player help you as a coach?
Oh, it helped tremendously. It really did. It helped tremendously. I was able to relate to my foreign players and also as well as my locals. You know, having a great relationship with the locals is like one of the better things out of all of overseas basketball. If you have a great relationship with the locals that's there and the team captain, man, life is easy. But if you come in there thinking, hey, I'm the American, you know, I'm the more superior one, yeah, you might be more athletic. You're there to help carry the load, but you also have to have that great attitude and be able to adjust to their culture. So by me being on that side of the ball before, I was able just to come in and adapt, you know, show them things, teach them things. By me playing the game, I was able to see things within the game that a normal coach wouldn't be able to see if he didn't play at that level before.
What advice do you have for basketball players? Maybe they're in college at the D1, D2 level, and maybe they're not NBA material, but hey, there's life after the NBA to be a pro in basketball.
Man, my best advice is, you know, never give up on your dreams. You know, I know it's hard, and trust me, I went through the trenches to get to where I am today, and I'm steady trying to climb. You know, I still get out here. I'm doing a lot of networking. You know, I'm working with Global Basketball, with their summer league and stuff. So it's a constant grind, man. No matter what, just don't give up until you know you've given it your all. So it's, you know, it's tough for a lot of rookies when they come in their first year. But the biggest thing is they have to maintain a positive attitude and not become disgruntled where the locals and your head coach is looking at you like, hey, you got to go. And it makes it tough because, you know, in the basketball world, it doesn't take much for people to find out, you know, what you did at your team.
Ricky George joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And now, Ricky, I know that you probably are staying glued to the NBA conference finals. Which team are you looking – who are you looking at as far as going all the way here in the NBA this year?
Oh man, you know, it was a tough one. It was a tough one to see the Spurs lose in the first round, Game 7 to the Clippers. I mean, I tell people that was like one of the most amazing games just to sit there and watch it. You know, from time to tip off until the final buzzer, like that was one amazing game. I mean, so I had the Spurs win it again. Of course, they got put out. After that, I was just like, you know, Golden State has the leeway to the championship. I felt like if they would have ran up against the Spurs would have beat them just because of their experience and Kawhi Leonard becoming a superstar in the league, being a terror on both ends of the ball, not offensively, but on defensively, unbelievably. So right now I feel Golden State is theirs to lose.
Man, and right now for Golden State, they're having a tough time at halftime at the Toyota Center in Houston, down 10. They were down by as much as 27 in the first half, so they fought their way back. I mean, do you think this is something that, you know, that Golden State will be able to come back and win this one in the second half?
I mean, it's, as they say, it's two halves, so they're only down by 10. And for that team, I mean, That's three three-pointers and a free throw. And we know what they do for shooting threes. Yeah. So, I mean, that's within, you know, a minute and 25 seconds, I can say, you know, of them cutting that 10-point lead. And, you know, they have had stretches where we just saw in the first half where Houston was just on fire for the first quarter and a half. Then that's that, you know, Golden State turns the table, and now they're only down by 10. So, I mean, as they say, it's never over till that clock hit double zero. And right now, you know, Houston just has to stay focused on the transition. They have to really stop Golden State from running. If they can settle them down and get them in a good half-court set, Houston will win this game with no problem. But if Golden State finds a way to just run and just get wide open shots, that norm, you might as well bring out the brooms.
Well, I'm hoping so. You know, being in Northern California myself, I am definitely, as I'm donning my Steph Curry jersey as we speak. But of course, the MVP Steph Curry looked like he had a bump on the head there in the first half, and I don't know what the outcome is on that. It sounds like it might be minor. I know they took him out of the game for a little bit, but let's talk about James. Let's talk about James Harden. What type of a player do you think? I mean, he's a different kind of player. He likes to put his shoulder down a lot. Is his style of play conducive for actually winning an NBA title?
Him being right now the primary ball handler with their point guard being out Patrick Beverley, it kind of has hurt their offensive flow because, speakingly, I mean, technically, you know, James Harden is bringing the ball up. He's looking to create the offense and score and get guys open, which he's done actually a wonderful job if you look at his stats. four assists or six this series. So he hasn't done a horrible job, but I just look at it, you know, them not having a point guard has really hurt them, and which it should have hurt them last series against the Clippers, but, you know, they pulled it together, and James Harden, you know, was having them horrible game the first four. The next thing you know, he just caught fire, and it's, you know, his style of play is very unique, but right now, you know, his defense is just slacking, and that's a big hole in his game. So right now, till he buckle down on the defense in Houston, they're not going to win a championship.
Ricky Cleveland George joining us here on the double. And Ricky, when you were a player, who was somebody, whether it be a coach or maybe a veteran player, that took you under their wing and kind of guided you in the right direction to help made you a better player?
I would have to say Tony Delk, the former UK great, played in the NBA with the Boston Celtics, as we know, played with Sacramento Kings, Phoenix Suns. You know, he was a wonderful journeyman. You know, guys, people forget, man, this guy scored 55 points when he was with the Celtics with Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker on his team. So, you know, that guy, that he really helped me out with my game, some of the things that I was missing. So, I mean, if I have to say anybody, you know, Tony Delk really helped me progress.
Now, of course, we met last year at the Global Basketball Summer League in Las Vegas. You do a lot of work for globalbasketball.com, and that's coming up here the second week of July back in Las Vegas. What do you try to teach the players that are looking for that next opportunity, possibly overseas?
Well, first thing first, you know, teach them by actually not just being a player, you know, to actually learn how to do marketing for yourself, but at the same time, know the business and kind of, you know your worth, you know, not get caught up in a moment of, okay, well, this contract is not worth this, and I know I feel I deserve this. And that might be true, but you can only turn down so many contracts, you know. So, I mean, until your situation gets better, you know, just hang in there and stay tough. But, again, it goes with the attitude, just making a positive vibe. You know, in an account like Global, you know, they're in front of head coaches of their actual teams, current teams. So, I mean, you have a chance to really come in and show not only, you know, yourself and your agent, but you have 20 coaches or more that's there at the event where you can really prove yourself and make a name for yourself and actually make the market bigger for yourself by coming to an account like Global.
Ricky George joining us here on the double. Now, Ricky, what is the expectation coming up for your Kosovo team? I mean, are they looking to win it all this upcoming year?
Well, unfortunately, we got put in the second division. Well, we actually might be moving back up to the first. So, actually, right now I'm in a transgression period where I'm looking at this job just as came open in Iceland. So, I'm hoping that I'll be able to pull in that job and continue my career.
Wow, Iceland. Yeah, I was just there. It's definitely beautiful. Mountains coming straight up out of the ocean, and be a fun place to work for a while, for sure.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, most definitely. You know, the whole biggest thing is, you know, you want to always stay with your teams and stuff, but for a guy like me, you know, it's all about progress and keep progressing and continue to move up to bigger leagues and continue to make my name known even more.
Well, Ricky, I got to say, you know, I'm sure you remember last year at the GBSL when you turned the tables on me. You know, I was behind the microphone a lot, play-by-play, analyst duties during the games, and then interviewing as well. And you grabbed the mic and turned into the interviewer. So that was a hilarious time. And I watched that YouTube clip every once in a while. And that was a fun time, man.
Oh, man, most definitely, man. I had fun doing it. You know, it was the spur of the moment. And I sat and watched it actually a couple of weeks ago myself. And I was just like, man, that was very funny. Because, you know, you guys was busy, you know, the whole time, you know, interviewing all the coaches that was there and some of the visitors that came in, like Evander Holyfield and other guys. So, you know, you guys was very busy. And it was just like, okay, well, let me try to do something to loosen these guys up and, you know, keep it fun.
Ricky Cleveland George. Find more info about the Global Basketball Summer League and Ricky at globalbasketball.com. Ricky, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thanks, Ricky.
All right, thank you, Sean, man. Y'all have a good night.
All right, you too.
All right. Bye-bye.
There goes Ricky Cleveland George, staying up late back east for us, doing good things with Global Basketball and also coaching overseas.
Yeah, you know, it's a big responsibility, Sean, to actually take over a head coaching job. And I know that he was doing some operations work, but man, there's nothing like being a head coach. And you can tell that, you know, he definitely has everything locked in. And I know that Kosovo team is going to do well. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to have guest number two, Jake Killeen, here on the double.
Everybody get up.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So, guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally here with Sean Boyd. And let's go out to my neck of the woods here in Tri-Cities, Washington, and we'll Killeen of the Tri-Cities Fever. Jake, thanks for your time tonight.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, Jake, happy Memorial Day to you, man. I know that you're probably out doing some barbecuing and doing it big.
Yeah. Just, you know, enjoy the day, enjoying my thanks for everything everybody's done and trying to make the most of it.
Man, that that's awesome stuff. And, of course, it has been a whirlwind of a 24 hours for you. Of course, you had the game yesterday against playing for the Tri-Cities Fever, but – there was a great halftime activity that partake there. You want to tell our listeners what that was about?
Oh, it's been a long time coming. Me and my fiance, well, now fiance, we've lived together for over 3 years now. So, time's finally come, for me to settle down. And, so I proposed to my girlfriend, and, luckily she said yes and didn't send me running out of the arena crying or something.
Well, congratulations on that. I know that you're going to embark on an incredible journey. And again, I mean, this is exciting news. And, let's hope that that doesn't tame you from doing the damage that you do as a defensive lineman for the Fever.
Yeah, in my little bit older age, I've mellowed down off the field quite a bit. But on the field, it's always a different ball game. You got to zone in, and I can find my inner beast a little bit when I'm on the field.
Now, Jake, tell me a little bit about that. What is it like to play arena football as a defensive lineman? Of course, there are two defensive linemen that are on the field at the time?
Yeah, three. It's just eight-man football, so it's just basically one-on-one-man scheme across the board, So it's just, mono-mono, you just beat the guy in front of you.
So that's basically it. I mean, now these guys are meaning the quarterbacks, they're getting the ball out of their hands pretty quick, though, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, well, I've played in basically every league there is, and, in the AFL, it's a little bit different because the ball, everything's two-step, three-step, and the ball's out, immediately. This game has a little more running in it. You have a running back, and, quarterbacks are typically, since they're out of shotgun, you get a little bit more scrambler, so you get a little bit more time to get back there. But, yeah, it's definitely, it's not like the outdoor game where, you get five-step drops and stuff like that. You got a couple seconds to get back there, and that's about it.
Now, Jake, the Tri-Cities Fever, with the loss by just 3 points, I believe, on Saturday night, still making it into the playoffs by the fact that Wichita Falls lost, so good thing for the Fever to clinch a playoff berth. What does that mean for the team, and what do you guys look to do moving forward?
Obviously it's never good, having a loss, but, there's still a lot of positives to take out of this. We did make playoffs. That's not our goal. We got a lot of vets that came back, they didn't. We've all been to the playoffs multiple times, so, we didn't come back to make the playoffs. We came back, to win a ring. But, there was definitely some things that got exposed and some issues that we had on the field, and hopefully we can make that right and see what our problems were through this loss and be able to fix those issues going forward.
Now, how does the IFL compare to the other indoor leagues that you've played in? You had last couple of years in Pittsburgh in the AFL. It's all football, so I would assume the mechanics are similar for what you have to do on the field.
Yeah, for me, and for, DNs and arena football, it's mostly just all pass rush. It's quite a bit of pass rushing in, the IFL as well. But, in the AFL, it's basically 90% pass, maybe 10% run. They don't even have a running back. They basically throw a fourth offensive lineman back there to be the fullback that every once in a while gets the ball, where, the IFL is more of a true, football, the traditional football. You have basically the same game. It's just eight-man football, on half side of the field. But it's still the same basic concepts with, a lot of the same running schemes. And so it's a lot, more traditional to the, to the outdoor game.
Jake the Wolfman Killing joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express, not to be confused with Jake from State Farm. But hey, Jake, so you had a chance to play at the professional level with the Indianapolis Colts as well. So what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, that was a great experience. It was kind of funny. I actually, most guys, they get their shot out of college, and, I was a little undersized coming out of college, so I didn't really, get that opportunity. And I happened to actually, when I came out of college, I came out here to the Tri-Cities Fever and had a good season and got picked up by the Colts then. So it was kind of funny when I got my phone call, the guy called at 6 in the morning. And, I'm like, what the heck is this guy calling at 6 in the morning? And I answer the phone. He's like, there's a Wolfman there. So I thought the guy was, prank calling me. And, so I'm a little offended at 6 in the morning. Somebody's asking that. And, he says, oh, this is John Shaw, the head scout for the Colts. What are you doing? I jumped out of bed real quick, pretending like I just got done working out. And when I came down there and made the team, they basically said the one stipulation was that I had to continue to be the Wolfman out there. And so when they made all the rookies introduce themselves, I just said, Jake Killeen, Charleston Southern. And Coach Pagano got up and said, nah, Jake, get back up. Tell everybody your nickname. So I said, oh, they call me the Wolfman. And so the whole time I was there, I don't even know. Most of the guys probably didn't even know my real name. They all just called me Wolf. So kind of stuck ever since.
Well, that's an awesome story. Now, I know that, for the rookies there, they kind of do a little bit of a team hazing, if you will. I mean, being nicknamed the Wolfman, I can only imagine that they probably had you howling or doing something crazy like that.
No, for me, it wasn't too bad. You know, some guys get a little worse than others, but considering I was 27, a 27-year-old rookie, a lot of guys gave me the respect of being a little bit older and playing, you know, some professional football, so I didn't get hazed too much while I was out there.
Jake, what did that mean to you at 27 to still get that chance to play the football at the highest level possible?
You know, it was just some validation for me. I always, you know, wanted the opportunity to play against the best. And so when I went out there, you know, I made sure I was in the best shape of my life and playing the best football of my life. And, you know, I never get cut from that 90-man roster in the preseason. But, you know, at least I left nothing behind, and I was, you know, it validated me in terms of, you know, my abilities and, you know, my ability to go out there and compete and play a good ball against, you know, some of the top players in the world.
Who have been people throughout your career, going back to maybe high school or even college, that have helped you and mentored you to be the great player that you are?
Well, you know, obviously my parents, my dad's always been, you know, my biggest advocate. He's always been my biggest critic and my biggest fan. So he's always, since I was 7 years old playing this game, he's been riding me, and he's always calling me up, telling me, you know, what I did bad, what I did good. And so, you know, he's been along the whole way. So he's probably been the biggest influence when it comes to, you know, my professional career.
Jake Killing joining us here on the double. Now, Jake, now you'd mentioned, you know, being a rookie at 27 in the NFL and continuing to play right now. Where do you see yourself next level wise? Do you plan on going on to coach, or are you just going to hang it up and spend time with the family?
Yeah, well, one of the main reasons why I came back out here, you know, this has become my home. This is why I live in the off season, and, you know, I have a house out here and stuff, and I have a really good job out here. So, I run an online advertising firm, Spotted Fox, out here. And so that was the main reason why, you know, one of the main reasons why I came back. So I'm feeling old out there. You know, I'm still playing at a competitive level. I mean, obviously, I'm still always going to compete, you know, every time I'm out there. But, you know, my body's breaking down a little more than it used to. And so, you know, this is my last hurrah. I'm going to finish out this season, and then it'll just be, you know, working my job. And I'll probably end up picking up a coaching gig at one of the high schools, coaching D-line or something, just that way I can keep my fit, get my fix, and kind of keep myself in the game a little bit without leaving it behind.
Yeah, that sounds like a great plan. Now, you'd mentioned online business. What type of business?
I run it's like Groupon here in the Tri-Cities. It's called Spotted Fox. So basically, you know, you just run all the different, you know, merchants in town, you know, whether it be, you know, restaurants or salons, stuff like that, and just do 50-90% off all the stuff in the community. So, you know, it's a nice little gig. I, you know, make my own hours and have time to play football still too, so I have no complaints.
Oh, that's awesome. That's definitely an awesome gig, it sounds like. And it sounds like you have everything, you know, in the place. And, you know, just asking you continued success in your football career, man.
Yeah, you know, I mean, football is one of those things that, you know, throughout the process, you learn a lot of things, not only just about the game, but about life itself. And, you know, I've always made sure, you know, that my effort dictated my success. And so, you know, it's something that's helped me, you know, become, you know, not only, you know, a good businessman, but helping me out as a person in a lot of different aspects of life. So, you know, I have a lot that football has given me that hopefully I can get back someday.
Jake, what advice would you have for a high school or college football player that wants to make it to the next level, whether that be the IFL, the AFL, or possibly a chance in the NFL?
I mean, you can never coach or teach effort. You know, that's something that, you know, if you have it, you know, you're gonna prosper in life. And I was always, you know, I was always an underdog. I was small coming out as a walk-on. I walked down to the University of Nevada and transferred to Charleston Southern. It was only 230 pounds. And so I've always had, you know, a chip on my shoulder because, you know, it's been hard for me to be able to move up. But, you know, I've always continued to work and, you know, keep my nose on the grind. And, you know, players that may not always have all the ability, there's always going to be somebody more talented than you out there. But, you know, you can always outwork them. So, you know, if you keep working every single day, you're eventually going to beat out, you know, the people ahead of you and, you know, make a name for yourself.
Now, you mentioned a time or two that you were a little bit smaller back in the day. So I'm guessing that there were possibly people saying that you couldn't compete, you couldn't make it, and now you've been able to prove them wrong. That has to feel good.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, it's been that way my whole life. I remember coming out of junior college, I was a second team All-American, and then when schools would come out and they'd visit me and they'd talk to me on the phone, and I'd have all these, you know, Big 12 and, you know, Big 10 schools coming out to visit, and then they would see me and they would, you know, basically laugh in my face, and you know, that always kind of resonated with me, and so it's nice to be able to, you know, say I told you so and kind of rub it back in their face a little bit.
Well, Jake, you and the Fever go another matchup with Billings May 29th, Friday, this time in Billings, so kind of a home-and-home series. The last game, obviously, Saturday in Kennewick with Billings coming in, and now you guys have a chance to go pay them back and take care of business in Montana.
Yeah, I mean, they're a young team, and, you know, got a lot of young players, but they're talented, and they're starting to figure it out. You know, they brought Nebraska in overtime 2 weeks ago and then won 70-24 the week before us. So, I mean, they're definitely getting better. And so, you know, I think that we may have slept on them a little bit coming into this game, considering we beat them twice this season. But hopefully this is a wake-up call for us to realize, you know, that you have to take everybody serious. And hopefully we can go out there and take care of business this game and get back on track and get focused and, you know, put out the effort that we should have been putting out last week.
Jake Killeen, defensive lineman for the Tri-Cities Fever, thank you so much for your time and insight tonight. Congratulations on your engagement, and go take care of Billings on Friday.
I appreciate it.
All right, thanks. There goes Jake Killeen, great D lineman for the Tri-Cities Fever. Sean, this is actually his second stint with the Fever. He left to play in the AFL with Pittsburgh and, of course, the stint with the Indianapolis Colts, and came back here in 2015 for, I believe, his third season with the Fever.
You know, you were mentioning earlier about Jake being undersized as a defensive lineman, and, you know, he's 6'3", 260 pounds. And, you know, nowadays, the way, you know, especially the way the NFL has changed the position, you know, he's more of just what, you know, the NFL is looking for as far as that hybrid type of an athlete. I mean, you know, you have to be lean, you have to be quick. As long as you're powerful and you can get off the ball, you know, that's all, you know, these teams are looking for. And so, you know, I'm sure that he wreaks havoc for the Tri-Cities Fever. And, you know, these guys are definitely going to make things better. You know, a loss is a loss. But, yeah, you know, the Tri-Cities, you know, from what I hear, Sean Wally, that's a dynamic team over there in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, a lot of veterans, as Jake mentioned, a lot of veterans decided to come back and play this season to have one more opportunity at a championship. And we didn't mention the fact that quarterback Houston Lillard, who's been a guest on the show previously, unfortunately broke his leg earlier this season. So he is not playing in what I believe was initially thought to be his last season, but you never know. Houston Lillard might want to come back for another year to go out the right way, because he definitely didn't foresee himself going out injured with a broken leg.
Yeah, and of course, you had mentioned, you know, getting a chance to see the Fever play. You know, what was that like? I mean, you've been on the road for quite a bit, been overseas. I know, you know, walking into the Toyota Center there in the Tri-Cities had to be a little awkward for you.
In more ways than one, Sean, but it was great to get back to my old stomping grounds in the confines of the Toyota Center and working for the Fever, because this would have been my fourth season with the team, and I was all set to run the video camera for the league and all the plays that need to be uploaded for not only the league but also other teams to view. And you know, when the Globetrotters came calling, I had to let the Fever know that, you know, I can't be there for you this year, but thankfully Chad Kramer stepped in for me. He helped me a lot last year, and he stepped in there, and it was a seamless transition. He's handled the entire season, and it just worked out great. I let the Fever know, hey, I'm back in town this weekend. I'll work this game. Give Chad a chance to relax and enjoy the game. But it actually turned out that it was perfect, because Chad couldn't even be there on time because he was busy umpiring high school baseball playoffs in Yakima. So it was just a perfect timing for everything, and it worked out well.
Man, I tell you, you know, the circles that we run in, we stay constantly busy. I mean, I don't know how our listeners can keep up with all the things that we do. And, And man, you're mentioning, you know, Chad with umpiring and yourself, you know, stepping in and doing some of the things that are old hat. Boy, we're just constantly on the go, aren't we?
Absolutely. You got to keep moving, stay busy, and keep many irons in the fire. And, you know, it's great to know, and we haven't told anybody yet, that we are both in the same state, and there might be a DSX reunion tomorrow.
Yes. And so, you know, as you mentioned that, Sean, here I am. You know, we can set the studio up wherever we would like, which is the great part of having internet radio. And, you know, I talked with you a little bit about this before, you know, some of the nostalgia of the places that we've traveled together as far as, you know, our journeys to, you know, being top notch as far as, you know, broadcasting is concerned and sports radio. And here I am at Clark College in Vancouver, Washington. And I don't know if you recall, but I believe it was in 2006, you and I embarked on calling a game here at Clark College. And I believe it was the Vancouver Chinook that were playing at the time. And I believe it was against the Portland. I'm losing the Portland's name there, but the Vancouver Volcanoes and the Portland Chinook. And yeah, man, that was a lot of fun because at the time, Vancouver had internet radio that they were broadcasting the game at that time. Do you remember that?
You know, what I remember from Clark College and the Vancouver Volcanoes games, you know, you and I are trying to do a regular, normal, good quality radio broadcast. And they've got these, I want to say, half play-by-play guys, half public address announcers that are getting over-animated and over-excited and almost to the point where they're drowning us out for our own broadcast. And I don't know who thought that was a good idea. It's like you're either a public address announcer or you're play-by-play, but not both. And nobody, and I mean nobody, does play-by-play over the public address full arena system. So it made no sense, and it was aggravating for us because all we could hear through our headsets was those guys being obnoxious in the small basketball arena at Clark College. And so now you're there not only to reminisce and relive all that, but you're there for a bigger purpose.
Yeah. So, you know, my son is being recruited by Clark College. And, you know, for those of our listeners who have been following my son, Devon, you know, playing at Chaminade University, wants to make a transition. And this is one of the schools that is heavily recruiting him. Head coach Alex Kirk is doing a phenomenal job with the program. They are the NWAC champions in the North Division. And, man, they got a chance to see the rings that they will be receiving this that the team will be getting this year. Just, man, a beautiful, fine piece of jewelry. And these, you know, these guys have earned it. You know, again, Coach Alex Kirk doing an excellent job, and Coach Marion and his staff as well, just doing great. And, you know, they just want to see what Devon is all about and kind of running him through the rigors a little bit. And, you know, we're having some fun out here.
Now, Sean, I've got a pop quiz for you. Where is the NWAC conference tournament held?
Wow. The NWAC this where was the NWAC this past year?
The basketball conference tournament. Where do you think that might be held?
Oh man, that is none other than where you preside mostly for the Fever, and that is at the Toyota Center in Tri-Cities.
Exactly. Kennewick's own Toyota Center, the NWAC tournament, not only for the Vancouver Clark College, but also all the other schools in the NWAC. But Sean, how about this? Next NWAC tournament, next spring, you and I are broadcasting games that just might include one Devon Boyd.
Man, that will be awesome, man. I would love to do that. And of course, you know, these guys, you know, are treating Devon top notch, and you know, that's his thing right now. He wants to make sure that he gets his numbers up and, you know, puts himself in a position for a strong push next year for a Division I school, and this will allow him that platform. So, you know, one of the other things that we're talking about is this will allow him to get a degree and then move forward and, you know, work on his bachelor's degree at a strong 4-year college. And so, yeah, it sounds like a great fit. It looks like a great fit, and you know, we're just up here having fun right now.
And so, how many schools are in the barrel? How many school names are in the hat? And not only that, but also, when will a decision need to be made by one young Devon Boyd?
Well, you know, a lot of the schools that are talking to him right now are schools that want him to come in and play right away. And so there are a lot of junior colleges that he's fancied because, again, he wants to make sure that he gets his numbers up. And by doing that, that will, you know, that will open up the doors for him to play at the next level at a Division I school. That's his goal. That's his vision. Preferably somewhere in the Pac-12. Right now, there's a plethora of schools looking. You know, you have Cal Poly, Pomona, San Luis Obispo. You know, we also have some schools down in Santa Barbara, and you know, there are a few other schools that are starting to come in, San Francisco State, just to name a few. And so, you know, it's even though it seems like it's late in the game, it's still in the beginning because a lot of these college coaches are looking for, you know, that player that can come in and play right away. So, you know, we have a little bit of time. Again, you know, I want Devon to go through this process because this is something that is very important for him. And, you know, we have nothing but good things to say about Chaminade University and the opportunity that they've given Devon. And I think it's just, you know, time for him to, you know, turn the page here and then move forward.
So turning the page from Hawaii and Chaminade, was school and basketball in paradise not all as it might have been cracked up to be?
No, it was a great experience. And so, you know, of course, you when you're in paradise, you know, what can you say? I think that, you know, over a period of time for Devon, you do kind of get island fever. And then, you know, just kind of figuring out what, you know, your purpose is with the team. And so it's tough for an individual to actually come to grips with those things and keep a level head and move forward at the same time. And Devon is doing just that. And I see great things happening for him on the horizon. I see great things happening for Chaminade as well. And so, you know, we just take it as a learning experience and you know, wish everybody the best.
And at some point, you will have to definitely step back and allow Devon the opportunity to come out of the top secret room wearing a hat or a t-shirt of whichever school he chooses.
Yeah. And so, you know, this, you know, the process again, of course, this is the second time going through the process, and, you know, just, you know, explain it to him and enjoy yourself and make sure that this is the you know, the choice that he wants. And, you know, I'll back him 110%, you know, and I know that, you know, some great things are going to come out of this.
And that's all you can ask for is new doors and new opportunity and a chance to continue the craft he loves and a chance to be great, both academically and on the court.
And that's the key, academically, you know, making sure that you get the education to have something to fall back on. Of course, you know, we all have a vision. We all have a dream. And, you know, I ask all my boys to and daughter to pursue that dream. And, you know, but to make sure that they're keeping things into perspective and making sure they get that solid education.
Sounds like there's some Great ruckus, some fun stuff going on there at Clark College.
Yeah, so, you know, as soon as we get here, the coaches they're saying, hey, man, hey, welcome to town and this, that, and the other. Put us in a nice hotel. And then they said, get your stuff, and we're going to go and run your boy here and make sure that, you know, he is as advertised, and they're not playing around. There's some great open gym going on in the background. And, you know, again, Coach Kirk is kind enough to allow me to procure his office for the On the Double show. And so I'm looking out over the court. You know, there's a glass window that I can look down onto the court there. And, you know, these guys are working up a sweat.
So is Devon going solo, or have they brought in other players to play defense or be also on offense with them as well?
Yeah, so when they're working him out, they've got the team out there, and there's a lot of hustle going on. Sweat equity at its finest for the Clark Penguins.
Awesome, awesome, awesome indeed. So it'll be great to see you and Devon tomorrow. I look forward to that, and also I look forward to next week's show, which I believe will be 105.
Yes, show number 105, man. And you know, it's always fun being back here in the Pacific Northwest. There's something about, you know, crossing over from Oregon to Washington. You know, it never gets old, man. And so it's always exciting. And I look forward to spending some time with you tomorrow face to face. Of course, you're going to be taking off as we talk about Hawaii in the next few days, the Harlem Globetrotters and that tour. With Hawaii a part of it, Australia, and I believe, did you say Africa as well?
The official order is Honolulu for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of this and the beginning of next week. So I will be in Honolulu for next week's show. And then we fly off on a red eye to New Zealand, which some say is the most beautiful country in the world. And then from New Zealand, it's Australia. After Australia is South Africa, before returning after 6 weeks, roughly July 11, July 12.
So, man, let's gear up. So something tells me that this time when you're doing the show from these remote areas, it'll be a lot more exciting for you because you'll be in more tropical venues. You know, and I'm excited for you, man. It should be fun.
Well, not only more tropical, but a lot more rest and relaxation time, as we have a lot more days off than we did in Europe.
And that's good, especially over in Honolulu, man. So, yeah, when you're over there, make sure that you stop by Chaminade University and say hey to the coaches and the team there. And who knows, we can possibly do the show like we did. Man, I believe that was, what, show number 15? We're going to have to go back into the archives there and see what show that was that we did from Honolulu.
Yeah, it was, I believe, August of, goodness, was that, yeah, it had to be 2013. And you did a show from Honolulu, and now it's going to be my turn. Could anybody have imagined that? I know I definitely wouldn't have.
Well, hey, that's what we do on the double. And so, you know, make sure that you see the sights. Of course, Waikiki is always beautiful. And, you know, enjoy yourself while working hard.
I'm just excited that when I get to do the show from Honolulu, it'll be 4 p.m., not 4 a.m. like it was in Europe.
That's right. So 3 hours earlier and, you know, a nice 85 to 88 degrees there and you know, clear waters and, you know, the surf and great people, man. That's what it's all about. So you're going to have fun.
Well, on this Memorial Day, hope you had a great one, a safe one, good barbecue, family time, but definitely, hopefully you took the time to reflect and remember friends, family that have gone before us. And I know I definitely did. I had a chance to get to my older brother's grave, not too far from where I live. And it was just an amazing sight. I've got pictures to post that there were so many American flags all over the cemetery, and each one had somebody's name on them. It was just phenomenal, not only to see that, but the lines and lines of cars and the abundance of flowers and balloons that were all over the cemetery. It was great to see, and really, it shouldn't be just a day or a couple days a year. It should be spontaneous much more often, that we remember, we reflect, and don't forget at all, indeed.
Yeah, you know, and I wish I had the chance to get up and see my dad and pay the respects on this Memorial Day. And, you know, it is, you know, just driving up here, because I drove up and, you know, got a chance to see all the you know, the patriotism, the American flags, and the respect that is due to, you know, our fine men and women who served this great country. And so, you know, it is a great day to reflect on that. And, you know, the barbecue I missed, but, you know, we're getting ready to go out to dinner here, so I'm looking forward to that. I'll let you know how that goes, Sean Raleigh, but it should be fun.
Absolutely, Mr. Boyd. You've got important things to get to, so I will let you run, and we will see you and talk to you tomorrow. Have a great night with your son and the coaches. You guys are doing big things, and keep up the good work.
Man, you know, it has been a great, great show. Of course, we, you know, we had Ricky George on the show here. Ricky Cleveland George, as you were mentioning, the head basketball coach of the Kosovo Super League. This is his first stint as the head coach. And, of course, we had guest number two, Jake, the Wolfman Killeen of the Tri-Cities Fever. And, of course, had a great, great weekend on Saturday proposing to his fiance and, you know, doing some awesome things there. And so we're looking forward to some awesome things with our guests as they're new and they embark on their new endeavors. So show number 105 in the books. Man, it's been a great one. A great Memorial Day to all of you listening here on the Double with the Double S Express. And as we leave, we also like to leave with you. Hey, you're not in the game until you take a shot. And when you make that shot, we hope that it's nothing but the bottom of the net. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express, a DSX LLC production. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd, Don Newsom, the engineer. Happy Memorial Day. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.